Hello and welcome to Retro Asylum. Hello, everyone.
Hey, Dean.
Hello,
Mads. So, who have I got with me?
You.
Nobody.
Silence.
Tumbleweed. I'm just here by myself, yeah. Frosty gang. It's a night. Oh, my God, he's starting it. The Frosty gang.
The Frosty group.
Right,
we'll explain in a minute.
So this is episode, look, I am getting old, my eyes are going. 313, unlucky for some. So I've got Steve, Mads and Mark with me. No Matt, surprisingly, and Chris is on his holidays. It's not the episode that we had planned, so this is going to be like a summer catch-up because we've had a bit of time off. Even Mads and Chris and Mark have not been recording recently. You know, guys, what's happening? I thought the agreement was you recorded one every week without fail.
Lazy. So lazy.
So lazy. You're getting like me and
you've
Steve.
Made me and Dean have to turn up.
Yeah. Horrible. Horrible. No, it's all Mark's fault because he's had us play non-retro games and all these modern Xbox games. What's with that?
They've been fantastic. Fantastic.
I've heard you've been torturing him with a point-and-click game or something, haven't you?
Yeah.
We're playing a beautiful game at the moment, aren't we, Mark? You are even enjoying it for the summer RPGs this time.
Am I?
Yeah, you said so.
I don't want to disappoint. Didn't sand two please last time. He doesn't sand two please now.
No, he doesn't.
I can't believe it. I'm going to disappoint you, Steve. This is actually a pretty fun game. I can't. But
goodbye,
it sounds
everyone.
Like.
Hey,
Steve's out. I'm out. He says I'm out. No, but it's. So I think it was Rousey that commented pretty early on before I started. He says, just pretend it's a board game. And I didn't know what that meant.
Because you'd be bored.
Okay. Yeah, very much so. Yeah, I was like, okay. So I'll save mostly for the episode when we decide to record. But you know, it's kind of just simple fun. It's kind of like playing chess, and I like chess. I feel like it's like a chess game. Does that sound accurate, Mads? Or
yeah, it makes total sense, mate. The Shining Force games are not really RPGs in my book, anyway. I mean, they are just strategic combat games where one of the strategic things that you need to work around and get your head around is that your pieces actually level up as you do the battle, right?
Right.
So that's all. It is just a strategic board game, battle game, really. So
me and
actually,
Steve
one thing
totally
I found
confused by all this.
How are you, Dean? How are you?
What have you done to Mark? Mark was an arcade player like me, and now you're making him like these RPG things.
Here's the thing: I am playing this with a friend of mine who likes JRPGs. I guess
right.
I mean he's into everything, but when we first started this, he looked at me right away after about 30 minutes. He says, "I hope this doesn't sour your taste of RPGs because this is not an RPG." That's what he told me. And I was like, oh.
Okay.
But after about 2 hours, and I don't know if I would have given myself 2 hours without having somebody there supporting me. But after 2 hours, we were done with our first playthrough, and I was like, this isn't too bad. He's like, no, it's not too bad. So I don't know. It's not an RPG. You don't wander around. You don't do that crap that I hate.
There's no talking to people.
There's no time. It's literally you kill, and once you kill the battle, you go right into the next battle. You're just zooming along. It doesn't. I don't know. It's like playing a board game. It totally is. Roush, you hit that run right on the head. So I don't know. I can't believe I like it either. It actually kills me.
What's that syndrome? You know when someone's been a hostage.
Stockholm.
Stockholm syndrome. It's Stockholm syndrome. RPG.
You guys got to get me out of it for next month.
Yeah, we'll have to break you out.
Man, seriously.
We'll get you some proper games to play soon. But I'm really enjoying Shining Force CD myself. I've already all the way through it, played all three books. And it's been just a beautiful little game to pick up and play on the Mii U. I've only played it on the Mii U, actually, because I've been on the summer holidays. But so easy to just pick up and play for 15 to 20 minutes while you're trying to take a leak.
Really? You've got to spend hours playing it.
No. You do. You do if you, you don't do. Have save states.
Mark's telling the truth, man.
Yeah, the truth. Definitely. Yeah.
You, I mean, I think I've – so we've played 3 weekends because I can only – he lives 45-ish minutes away from me. He's probably 40-ish miles away. So every weekend we've set up a day, either Saturday or Sunday, and we spend anywhere from 6 to 10 hours to playing. So we're on this weekend coming up is weekend number 4, and we spent only, I think, about 2-3 hours on the first one, and then it was like 8 the next, and about 9 last week. So I'm already kicking, and I haven't even beaten the first book because we're not very good. So it sounds like you're supposed to be able to beat.
It doesn't lead to divorce.
Yeah, no, my wife's, God, she's a saint.
I mean, I think, you know, you're playing something boring when the level's called a book.
Did you ever play the UFO game, Steve?
No.
UFO, Enemy Within.
I know of them, but I didn't play.
Yeah, yeah. This is just like them, really. It's just strategic battles. It's nothing else. I like that.
I know. And it may be because I can't play it during the week because I said, you know, we're going to commit. I'll play this with you, with my friends. And then all week, I can't play the damn thing. And so it's making me want to play it more. So I think it's a psychological battle.
So maybe what you like really is just your friend and not the game.
That might be.
Yeah.
That might be. Yeah, this game sucks. All right.
More on that on the episode, listeners.
More on that next month. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
The next one's probably, if we get it done, it's going to be the Outrun 2 episode.
Yeah, poor Outrun 2. It's been
horrible,
it's
horrible been. Non-retro racing game.
Oh,
it is retro-ish.
Yeah. I have to admit that Mads was kind of right with that one.
It's far so,
yeah, but it's so an arcade racer. You're only supposed to play it for 20 minutes.
I know. No, and yeah, I had like, really good fun with it. Yeah. But then I got bored within half an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but you meant to play it for 20 minutes, put it away, come back to it another time. You don't play those games for hours on end, do you?
Yeah.
And that kind of game, it's beautiful, really. But yeah, as a GameCube game...
No, what was the C64 really game that was going against it, Mads, that you were like, we should all be playing this? What was that called?
Oh, I forget right now. Wizard? Wasn't it?
Wizard? Was that it? Wizard?
Yeah, something like Wizard. That. It was just like Jumpman Jr., but just with even more bells and whistles on him. It looked really, really nice.
I need to go back and have a look at that then.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Jumpman Jr. is still a favorite of mine. I mean, the whole fact that it completely changes gameplay mechanics with every single level. It's just so beautiful. Well, that's, Jumpman Jr. I've never actually played just Jumpman, I think, but I love Jumpman Jr.
Let's give that a go as well.
Yeah. So anyway, Mads, other than that, how are you?
I'm fine, mate. Fine. Hanging in there. It's been a busy couple of months for me, so not a lot of retro gaming done, actually. It's I've been struggling to get through Shining Force. Haven't played a lot of the two Xbox games before that because they really weren't my cup of tea. But apart from that, I'm still chipping away at Game Boy games on my Analog Pocket, which ties in nicely with some of the news we have for today. Because I guess if you dive into our back catalog like a year or two or three ago when the Analog Pocket was the hot new thing, I can probably be quoted for saying that's not for me. Why would I want a recreation of something that needs to play the original cards to actually work? But I found out that the former Mass was an idiot. I love it. It's beautiful. I mean, just the tactile thing of plugging in the real game, seeing it boot up on this beautiful screen that's exactly 10 times the resolution of the original screen, so they can do all these nice filters. And it looks just like an original Game Boy, just, you know, like I remembered it looked, but a lot better than it actually did. And it's so good. So it takes me to my happy place immediately when I turn that on. So I've been playing that quite a lot as well, actually.
Cool. About you, Steve?
What have I been doing?
Fiddling with stuff, Steve. Xboxes and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I've had a little bit of an evolution in my gaming. Which is so.
I'm not going to like this, am I?
You're not going to like this, Dean. Listen. Look. If I still move the thing over there in the background, is the Mister? It's still set up.
It's three screens. CRTs.
It's two CRTs and a widescreen. So it's all still there. Don't worry, Dean. I'm not abandoning you. Don't worry.
Good.
But Yeah, so I picked up a handheld ages ago, and then I think Matt picked one up, and three of you picked them up, didn't you? Miu Mini.
Yeah, beautiful.
So I was playing with that, loving that, completed a few games on it, and decided I wanted to step up. Sold it. Of course I did. I sold it and got a Steam Deck instead. Because I wanted to upgrade, I wanted a bigger screen, I wanted to do a bit more, so I get the Steam Deck, and I'm playing loads of retro gaming on that with Emulation Station, and the next thing is I'm like, I might as well just try a few Steam games as well, because I've got a Steam Deck, see what it can do. So the next thing is, I'm not playing anything super modern, I was playing like Streets of Rage 4, Hotline Miami, a couple of games like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is really cool, this is really cool. And then had a bit of a stressful family event a few weeks ago with my brother-in-law getting taken to hospital. It wasn't great. So I wanted a distraction. So I was just sitting there and I said, you know what? I'm going to buy an Xbox. Like a cheap one. First of all, I was just looking online at them and I was like, I could get a second-hand one here for like 100 quid.
And what model Xbox is this though? It's not.
So this is the latest, not the X. It was the Series S. So it is the latest, but it's the little one. So I was like, I think I'll buy myself an Xbox. I was looking at them secondhand, blah, 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 blah. And I thought, how much are they new? So I went onto Amazon and saw that they do their own refurbished brand, Amazon Refurb or something. I could get one for 200 naked. Quid.
Yep.
What's that?
Amazon Naked.
Amazon Naked. But the thing is, I thought, if I buy it off them and it's broken, they'll send me a new one.
Right,
so
yeah.
I can't lose. So I just thought, screw it. So I just spare the moment, just ordered an Xbox Series S, which came the next day, set it up, and then started, I got the Xbox Pass, Ultimate Game Pass, thinking I'll just pick a couple of retro games off of here. And then the next thing is I'm playing Halo Infinite, because I used to love Halo on the original Xbox. So I finished the original Halo, so I just thought I'd give that a go. Started playing that. Then I started playing Planet of Lana. I'm about 6-7 hours into that. Really, really nice. Totally reminds me of Another World on the Amiga.
Yeah.
It's just got this graphical style. It's really similar to it. And then it's got this like War of the Worlds vibe where aliens invade. It's really cool. So I've been playing that, playing the Star Wars one where you fly the spaceships, where it's all in the X-Wings and the other ones. So I've just been sort of getting stuck into that, and I've really enjoyed it. And then the other day, I decided I was going to try this developer mode on it where you could get all the emulators onto the Xbox as well. So I looked into that, took me a couple of hours following YouTube videos, and you basically sign up for a developer account, cost you £12, and that's it. Just one-off payment.
That's a one-time fee? Okay.
It's a one-off fee, and then that's it. You've got your developer account. And then that unlocks a different part of the Xbox. You get an app, opens it up, and you can then start FTPing stuff to the Xbox from your computer, throw RetroArch on it, copy the load of ROMs onto a USB stick, and the next thing is got that set up. And then I started looking up these shaders to make it look like retro. And I was like watching the best shader YouTube videos and all this, and eventually stumbled on this one. And I swear to God, when I got it running, I nearly cried. It looks so good. It looks so good. It was
Is
Amiga
that the one
monitor.
That you sent with the 1084?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I just
it looks amazing, but...
Oh, yeah.
So, hang on. How much was the Xbox?
Xbox was 200 quid.
Right, so you paid 200 quid plus £12.
Plus £12.
Yeah.
Plus the Game Pass. I've got that for £1.
All right. So, £213.
Yeah.
And the shaders look great. It looks like a CRT. You've got a CRT behind you.
I have.
With a mister attached to it, which looks just the same. Well, it'll look better because it's the real thing. I don't get it.
It's not in the living room.
Oh, right. Okay.
No, but it did look brilliant. And
no, it does look amazing. It's very, very clever.
Yeah, Steve has this huge 4K HDR TV that the picture really pops. And those filters, it even had something, you described
it
for
us. It's got like a bezel, wasn't it, of a TV?
Yeah. And
the monitor.
Really, because of the way the light was reflected on the bezel, that was all done
so
real time with the shaders.
It's so clever, man. So it uses about 14 different shaders at once.
Yeah.
It's using diffusion, it's using glow, it's using reflections, it's using surfaces. And it's like, it was unbelievable when I put it on and then just start, because I went, oh, it looks nice. And then I pressed the game and like around the edges, the 3D inside edges of the bezel, the reflections are appearing, even in the corners.
And they scroll, don't they? When you're scrolling Mario, for instance, Super Mario Brothers, you get the reflection and you see the clouds.
On the monitor, the edges of the monitor. They're
running on the edge of the background.
So, yeah.
It was crazy. When you first sent that, I was looking, I'm like, why is he sending... I didn't know you had a 1084. I truly thought that for about a half a second.
And yeah, it felt like it was popping out of the screen, even on a video recorded on a telephone. So,
But even when we were looking at an emulated CRT on a 4K through my LCD, phone, and I'm like, this is like Inception, man. I don't know what's going on here.
it's just unbelievable. Like, the difference it's come, because I'm always one I've said it'll never look like a real CRT, and it's still...
Mm.
It's 99%. It's not.
No, because your brain's telling you, you know. But just look at that footage. If you hadn't said, it would have been hard to distinguish.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, Dean, you're saying why you're not using that, and I am using that as well. I still do.
Yeah.
But in your living room on a 75-inch TV, to have a perfect looking Amiga monitor that's way bigger than a real Amiga monitor. It's like 2 foot tall.
Yeah, the 1084 would be a 14-inch monitor, right?
Yeah.
And this is like 28 inches or whatever it is on my screen.
Yeah.
And then it's also got the lovely wallpaper behind it and all the rest of it, artwork and stuff. And that's the one thing with having that TV that I've had for about a year now, is I've never really put any games on it. And like my missus said, why have you not played any games on this TV? This TV is made for it. And I've also got the recently in the Amazon sales, I picked up the LED strip that goes behind the TV and has the camera, the
ambient light
that matches the telly.
Yeah.
So whatever the TV does it on the wall. And she's like, why have you got all this stuff and no games? So when I played it and I put the Star Wars game on with the fighting and all the flying, the thingies, and the explosions on the screen, I was just like, holy crap, this looks good. Yeah.
Is that the Star Wars Squadrons game?
Or? I think it's Squadrons, yeah. It's on the Xbox really Game Pass. It's all in the ships, and I like that. I don't want to do wandering around and talking and all that. I want to just get in the ship and go. And then you do both sides. So you start as a bad guy flying the thingies. What are they called?
TIE fighters.
You're flying the TIE fighters, and then it flips to the other side, and you're on the other side of the battle flying the X-Wing, and it's... graphically really, really, really good. And just
having like half an hour, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago when it was just released in VR with the Oculus.
Oh, wow.
It was unreal. It was just like sitting there in the cockpit of a TIE fighter and blasting through space. It was great.
Well, it kind of the same experience, man. I have it on the PSVR side on my PS4. Yeah. And nice. It is a weird experience feeling. It feels like you're totally inside one. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think having it with me, because the VR doesn't make me, I don't feel good in VR. But having it on such a big TV and being right in front of it, it's kind of like overwhelming. It's almost
taking up your old peripherals.
So it's almost like you're in it anyway. And it's just, So I've been really enjoying that. And I've been quite surprised at how much I've gone back and played a bit more. And, you know, me to be doing 7 hours of Planet of Lana is a surprise to me.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
no, but doing all those shaders and getting the almost perfect CRT image, that's definitely the future. Right now, though, it's probably too expensive. You gave like $212 to pounds to get that experience. I bought a new B&O CRT 15-inch for £12 just recently, so much, much cheaper.
Well, you're saying
in
that.
In 5 or 6 years, they're not going to be around.
But you're saying that, but that what I've just done will work on RetroArch on pretty much any Mac, PC, console, Steam Deck. It'll work on all of them. So, I've bought an Xbox because I've done it in the living room. I've done it on the big TV. But that situation, anyone who's got this tech that we're on now can do it anyway.
Yeah, true.
You don't need the purchase.
Yeah, it's true. It's just retro.
I'll have to try it on the PC, see how it looks. But I've not got a massive monitor or a massive TV, really. My front room's too small. I live down south. Our properties are tiny. No, it does look good. And I suppose, you know, as Matt would say, not everyone can have a CRT. They don't have the room. And it's a way of getting that nostalgia hit back, I guess.
Well, Matt being contrarian, Matt basically saw it and said, I'm getting me CRT out the loft. Because that's what he'd say. Yeah. So, but yeah, so that's me, boys. I've been playing on the Xbox a lot. I've been playing on the Steam Deck a lot. Yep. I played all the stuff we need to play for this episode. It's now not this episode, but the...
So this episode was supposed to be about a lot of really, really good modern C64 games, but that's going to be next episode then instead.
Yeah, that's a reschedule.
Yep.
Mainly my fault, I think. But so I've not had time planning out these games.
Yeah. Your one's good. Yeah, your game's good.
Is it?
Like out of everything, yeah. So I clocked mine because mine was just shoot 'em up and it's just fun. But then I had to go a couple of the others.
I can't even remember what game it is. You'd have to remind me off air.
Yeah, but yours is good. You'll like it. It's a bit like a Specky game.
Mm. Oh, good.
I think you'll
Didn't you just say it was good, Steve?
Well, yeah. I said a bit like it.
Come on.
Like a Specky game. Mm. Yeah.
Surrounded by you see 64 people. I don't know. Not good. Well, I've been decorating, so I haven't had much time for games. Today was the first day, really, that I got away from the house because I've been off this week. And I come down here because I wanted to do something. This arcade machine behind me, which our listeners cannot see, is my main one, which is a horizontal screen. And the front end that I was using, which I can't remember the name of now, every now and then it would put the game into a window while you're playing and the controls would stop working and it was annoying me because it was doing it randomly. You know, you could go a month and it wouldn't do it. And then occasionally you're playing a game and it reduces the screen size. It's something to do with the way the resolutions work on this front end that I was using. So I've had to put a front end on, which is one of the first ones that ever come out, called Mala, M-A-L-A.
Okay.
And it's really old software, but it works fine on that PC. But all the video clips, you know, on front end, you have all your video clips and all that. It wouldn't play MP4s because this software is so old. So I've spent the day converting MP4 videos to AVI.
Oh, my gosh.
Re-encoding, and the only software I could find was old because no one uses AVI anymore, really.
Yeah.
I was having to do it in, I was doing it in batches. So I was doing each letter, but you know, some letters like S, there was like nearly 500 games. So I'm having to split it in half. The program kept crashing. I started this at 8:30 this morning and got finished by about 4:00 this afternoon.
Wow.
So I've not even played any games. This is just to convert videos so it looks nice.
At least you're using retro software for it, so that's
true.
Good.
True.
Man.
But the only other game I played very quickly today was Green Beret 2, Missing in Action, which is an arcade game. It's a sequel to Green Beret or Russian Attack, as Mark will know it. And that was released on the Mister today, so I had a very quick go at that, and it's two player.
Yeah. So talking arcade games, I just recently I was watching a YouTube video that Paul Driscoll put up just about all the games on sale right now. There was a Joe and Mac, you know, Joe and Mac Caveman Ninja.
Yeah.
Single screen platformer. I've never played as an arcade game from like 94, 95.
I remember seeing it.
Joe and Mac or Trance, perhaps.
I can't remember what it was called. I do remember seeing it at the time. I've never played it.
Yeah, I've never seen it before. I loved the first one, Joe and Mac, Caveman Ninja. I played at the local chippy so many times. So I've always had a soft spot for that one. But I've never seen the single screen platformer. And I do love single screen platformers like Bubble Bobble, for example.
Yeah.
I need to try that at some point.
Yeah, I do remember it. So I've never played it. Did you ever play Snow Brothers?
Yeah, I love that as well.
Yeah, it's quite a good one.
I can still quite easily firing that up, even if it's been years. I can get to like level 23, 24, like that. Because the first two worlds, I mean, every world is 10 levels in Snow Brothers. They're quite easy once you know the pattern. But after that, I don't know the patterns enough there because I've only really played it in the arcade or at the chibi. So.
Yeah. I've never played it in two player.
You played Snow Bros. As an arcade game?
Yeah,
Snow Bros. Isn't a great game, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you played the what? There's a NES port, I guess. Or
yeah, there's a NES port. It's super rare here, so we. I mean, okay. Other than just yeah. playing it.
You should play the arcade version. It's really, really good, mate.
I think yeah. there's
I've never played it as two player, as you say, Dean. I've never tried that.
It's strange because Bubble Bobble, I used to get bored of in one player mode. I like playing it in two player. Yeah, it's just more, you know, trying to grab the fruit before your mate gets it. And
yeah, yeah, true. I always played it in two player mode with my brother on the C64, but in the arcade, I actually preferred playing it by myself. So I got all the pickups.
Right, guys, any news you want to cover?
Well, I know you've got some news with the new Atari, right?
It's the new Atari 2600 Plus. It plays cartridges, which is, I think, quite a welcome move. It's basically, I mean, it's an emulator in a box. It's about 80% the size of the original Atari Woody, but it's a 4-switcher rather than a 6-switcher.
Okay.
And it's got HDMI out. So it's only available in America at the moment for pre-order. Apparently, it's going to become available via some means for international buyers, such as ourselves, other than Mark.
I think it just became, or I want to say somebody on Discord announced that it is for pre-order on Amazon UK.
Yeah, I think it's on Amazon now. Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
So do we know anything about the hardware? Is it just a tiny ARM system like everything else that emulates, or is it a small FPGA system?
No, it's not FPGA. Not for that price. I think it's about $120, is it? Something like that. $130. Yeah. A lot of people will be saying, why with the Atari 2600? I think there's still an audience out there for it, especially in America, with guys around my age and older, so just over 50. Not that I'm over 50. Nearly there. But, I think this is quite a good move. If other companies done this, where you could at least use your old cartridges, you think that would be a good thing, or is it a waste of time and you need all the games already built in?
Yeah, so as I said just 20 minutes ago, me 2-3 years ago would have said that that's a stupid idea, but right now I love it. I mean, I'm loving my analog pocket, and I think this is a great idea as well.
I think so too. In the Atari 2600, the cartridges, if you have retro shops, they are all so cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, not obviously there's always the crazy rare and expensive games, but I mean, I can go to any video game retro shop and you can buy cartridges for a dollar or even less in some instances.
It's pretty much the same over here, Mark. The places that do sell them, you know, they're like you say, a pound or a bit more. And obviously the more rare games and whatever condition it's in, if you're looking at box games, they're going to be more money, obviously. But it was such a popular system. There's a lot of loose carts available.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So will it play 7,800 games as well?
It plays 7,800 games.
Okay.
Which is quite a good move. The only thing I have noticed, you can buy new versions of the joystick, which is one button. The 7,800 games need two buttons usually.
Yeah.
So, and they've not announced a new 7,800 controller.
Okay, but I quite like that controller.
It's not
actually
USB. It does take the old hardware, so if you've got an old joystick, you can use that, or your old spinners, but they're reproducing new spinners and joysticks, but no 7,800 joypad, or because in Europe, we got a joypad, and in the States, you got a rather funky controller with buttons on the side.
Our sticks are terrible.
Yeah, never seen that.
Yeah, they're not too good.
Have you not seen one of those, Mads?
No, I have the 7800 with the two little gamepads, really. Gamepad. And then on the thumbstick, that's actually just a D-pad. You can screw these little thumbsticks on.
Yeah, that's right, it comes off, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good,
so
actually.
So, really, it's an emulated 7800 because the 7800 was backwards compatible.
Yeah.
Not every game works on it. I think they've announced two or three that don't work. And they've not tested every game yet. That's it.
That weird.
Mark's holding up one of these joysticks. Mm.
Makes for good radio, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I can't
look too comfortable, Mark.
No, they're very not very comfortable. No.
What I will say is I think the... the fact is that they're bringing this out. The 2600 originally is really got a horrible video out for like modern day. Yeah. Try and plug it into anything modern day. The 2600 especially is just an RF out. Is that it? It's the best it can do.
So a lot of machines have been modded. Yeah, they were both RF out originally. I've got my 7800 here. On the side, and
this makes for good radio.
It's modded. Yeah, just for the viewers,
me and Dean digging out all of our crap.
Yeah, RC lead. So, I don't need one because I still use a CRT. But for a lot of people who want to play these older games and plug them into a modern TV, I don't think this is a bad choice. Obviously, it will depend on how good the emulation is, but
and playing the real cards, it is just fun. And if you say that you can even pick them up that cheaply over there, it's just the whole process of going out, finding some games, going home, and plugging them in and playing. It beats regular emulation any day in my book. So,
I think a lot of the time, say it come bundled with 100 games, you're going to go through those games very quickly, just trying them. Try the next one, and you don't actually play them. Whereas with a cartridge, you put it in, and you might actually stick with it for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather gives than you just flying through a load of games.
Mm.
Get one, find Hero on cartridge.
There you go. Yes. You're sorted. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope that some other manufacturers do the same. Really, bring out consoles that play the old games. Cartridge wise.
Mm.
I think it'd be a good thing.
I mean, there's a few of them out there, right? I mean, analog, I guess nothing official.
I'm talking more official. Your analog pocket and the Retron, because there was an Atari, it's not an official Atari machine.
Retron 77. I forget.
Yeah. But that didn't play 7800 games, so.
Mm.
Right.
This has got something up on that at least.
And it looks like it. Which is the difference, because the Retrons are cool, but
it's a lovely looking machine. I do like the way the Atari logo lights up when it's switched on as well.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that too.
I'd like that modded on my machines, to be honest.
Like you say, half of the nostalgia is the look of it as well. If you're going to do something like this, for it to look like it did, similar at least, and then you stick your cartridge in as well, that's going to give you some vibes. Whereas, like I say, a Retron looks nothing like anything.
No.
So
and that it supports the original controllers is really nice as well. So
I
don't like the Atari joystick at all. I think it's rubbish.
I don't. I've never been a fan of them. I find them very hard to get any diagonal.
Spongy, difficult. Mm. Yeah. Feeling of like whether it's working or not.
Yeah.
The viewers can't see this.
I've got this. Alan Stewart, who's a YouTuber, sent me this because he interviewed me on his show, and I said I've never had one of these, even with my original Atari, because I got it off my cousins. It didn't come with a joystick, so I'd broken them. And I always used joysticks that, Competition Pro or something, back in the day. So, these I've never been a fan of.
I don't think very many of them survived. They made really good, we call them teethers, where the babies chew on them. so they just got chewed up. I can't tell you how many Atari joysticks I've seen that just like I'm like what's happening here? They just chewed them apart. Yeah.
Well, it's just a white stick underneath this, isn't there?
Like that's
a
right.
Plastic tube.
Plastic tube.
They're not great at all. Yeah. So that's it. I think I like the look of it anyway. So we'll see.
Are any of you going to buy it? I mean, as much as I'd like one because I have so many different Ataris, I don't think I'll get one.
No, there's no point in me buying one. Unless I'm going to stick it on a shelf and just look at it. And I've got the original to do that with, so.
Yeah.
I'll sell you mine, Mark.
You're going to get one, Steve.
Nah, not really. I'm not really. I don't know. I say I won't, and then I probably will. We'll see. We'll see.
Right. Right, another bit of news. And I'm going to try my best to explain this, but I'll probably really mess it up. Mr. FPGA, as we know, great system. And I've always recommended anyone who's got one to go with the analog board so you can use it on a CRT TV. and you can also capture footage whilst you're playing, should you wish. There's a couple of cores on the horizon, which is Mortal Kombat and Narc. They're both Midway games, and the developers are transferring it over to the Mister. They're saying it's not possible to do because of the way the hardware works on these arcade machines. It needs dual RAM. So basically on the Mister, you got two ports where the memory can go. And on most people's setups, they've got a 128 meg card in one, and the other port is used for the analog out, which the board that fits on, because it's like a sandwich, the Mister, is three boards put together. So the analog side of things takes up one of the ports. So to get these games working, you'd need to buy some more memory and plug it into the port where the analog normally goes. It doesn't have to be 128, it can be a 32 meg card. But yeah, a lot of people are getting a bit concerned, thinking, you know, is this the future with Mister, that you won't have to use analog? You can, I guess, what you could do if you really had to was use some sort of an adapter with your the HDMI, but it never looks quite the same as a SCART lead or RCA out. So yeah, it's just a bit of a downer with these two games. They're quite popular games, and it seems to be splitting the community at the moment. Personally, I'm not too fussed. Those two games, I can play them on an arcade machine behind me if I really feel the need. So I won't be giving up my analog signal for this. But what do you guys make of it, if you understand what I've just explained?
What's a Mister? No, I'm just
kidding. It's a shame if it fragments the scene. Yeah. That a lot of cores will start using that, those extra resources that many people don't have, of course. But on the other hand, it's also cool if they just see if they can squeeze as much as possible out of it.
It's not actually the memory, it's the bandwidth, apparently.
Okay.
You know, the arcade machines, I don't know, it's basically like a two-way signal. It needs to be going at the same time.
Hmm.
I don't know if it's writing data and saving data at the same time or something. And on a single RAM machine, it doesn't cope with it.
Okay. Yeah, well, for me, it doesn't matter. As you say, I can play those two arcade games in other ways. But
yeah.
I'd be sad if like some of the big popular cores that I really love starts going into this kind of territory and need that kind of hardware.
Well, there was talk that the PlayStation core would definitely need a dual core setup.
Okay.
And the guy who made that, he managed to, you know, he worked on it more and more, got it working on a single core. It is enhanced slightly, I think, if you use dual core setup.
Okay. Yeah.
But it works perfectly fine on a single. So I'm hoping that maybe whoever is developing it, I think it's a Track 17, the guy's name, maybe he can get some advice from another developer who can help him.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Sort it out. So there you go. That's about it, really. I can't think of anything else.
There's one more interesting piece of news. Do you guys notice that there is what they called the Arcade 1-Up? They've just released or teased that they're going to be releasing a Time Crisis 4-in-1 arcade cabinet. You seen that?
No, it's
called the Time Crisis Deluxe. It's a full-sized arcade cabinet with a 17-inch LCD screen. It says here, I'm just looking at the specs, it's 70 inches tall. And with a 17-inch LCD screen and, of course, two light guns, the red and the blue one, like you had in the old cabinets. Now you've got the Time Crisis there. You've got the Point Blank. And I think Steel Gunner 1 and 2. Yeah, Steel Gunner 1 and 2, it says. Actually, I don't know Steel Gunner. I've never heard about those games before. But I do love Time Crisis and Point Blank. So pretty neat. I'm interested in knowing what kind of technology they're using for the light guns, because it's an LCD and... as we all know, the technology that the light gun uses only really, well, with the old light guns, only works with a CRT because it uses a single screen blanking, doesn't it? A single frame blanking of the screen that just turns it into white and black and white that the gun picks up. And you can't do that as easily on an LCD.
Yeah, there has been, I think it's called a Sinden light gun.
Yeah, I've heard about that one, yeah.
Screen, so maybe it's using technology similar to that. Yeah. How popular are arcade one-up machines over there in Denmark, lads?
I've never seen one. Never.
You've so never seen one in the world.
No, they're so never. Popular here.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of collectors, isn't there, in the States?
Yeah.
But you guys get them at a much better price than the rest of the world seems to.
Do we? What are they
priced? It's going to be $750 in the States.
Well, this
but it comes in real guns.
Yeah. Of course it does. And replacement screens.
The Star Wars one is the only one.
Holes in the screen.
Wouldn't have it any other way. Yeah.
Yeah. The Star Wars arcade, you know, the Atari Star Wars, is the only one I've really been interested in. And that retails for $699 over here. And it's never gone down in price. Yeah.
That's a lot. Yeah. So my friend that owns the game store that's kind of close to me, he has them all set up, or a whole bunch of them set up in his shop, and I don't think I would ever buy any of them. And it's not because I think they're bad or terrible or anything like that.
I don't think they last the test of time. I've seen them set up. We've got a HMV over here, and one of their stores I went in, they had four of them round a pillar. And every one of those machines – either had a joystick missing, button missing, or the control panel was cracked. I think people just go in there, pander them, but they obviously can't take.
They cannot take a punishment. Beating. No. The coolest one he has or had or has, I can't remember. I don't think he got rid of it. Was there was an Atari Pong one, and it was a cocktail that you stand at, so it was very tall, and you could play 4-player Warlords on it. Which was so much fun. That one I could see getting myself, putting that one in the basement. But the rest of them, I'm like, they're neat.
They're quite small as well, aren't they, Mark?
They're not full size, are they? Are they like 70% or something?
They call them three-quarter size. You put them on the little riser. They can
stand on there,
little riser box. Yeah, if they don't have the riser box, I mean, you need to be on your knees to play them. It's really weird. But with me the riser, you can stand at them. Yeah.
Me and Matt will be on eye level with the screen.
Yep.
We need a riser as well, just to stand on.
I think most of them retail around $400, which is probably, what, 350 pounds, something like that.
It's not bad.
So, a lot of them go on clearance over there, don't they?
So, they do. Yeah, I've seen them. I've seen them as low as $200 and cheaper. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't see them for that price over here.
It's probably why they sell, or why they're popular over here, maybe.
Yeah, plus distribution in this country has been terrible. We haven't had the majority of the games, but I can understand why at that price, not many people was going to get many of them.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, I feel like some of the guys on Playthrough Mads, they've recently picked up some arcade machines for not much more than 750 pounds. And I would much rather have a real one like that,
Yeah.
But I do have a friend that has the Terminator 2, that is the light guns. I don't know how the technology worked. I played that one just this past summer at his place. And it's pretty cool. I'll give him that. It almost feels like that the guns are like a mouse. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Almost like an analog, like you're using an analog stick. And I think the technology it's using. The gun and the screen, you're right on top of it, so there's no way that you can actually
not
see.
That's always been a problem, though, since we went to LCD. It's like gun games were just garbage. I remember testing them on the PlayStation 3 when it first happened, and we were using the Move as a controller. It had a gun holster.
Yeah.
But the drift, because it always had to have a target on the screen. Like, you couldn't just aim and shoot. It would have a little icon that this is where you're aiming. But you'd follow it, and it'd move, lag behind you. Just, drift, and it was like,
it's because that's why I'm interested in how what kind of technology they've got here. Maybe it's something like Dean said, like that new Sinden light gun, because in the old light guns, it was really, really precise. I mean, playing
really
on a 29-inch CRT, it was so precise when you were shooting at that
stuff. Yeah,
I remember seeing the video on how it was done.
Completely different setup, right?
Yeah.
But
you see the video on how it, how it was done on the CRTs, and it was something to do with the way the line's drawn. And when you hit the...
The CRT did it quite simply, if I recall correctly. So there's a light sensor in the gun. And once you press the trigger, it sends the signal to the CRT that it makes a single frame where only the targets light up as white. Everything else is black. And it records that screen. So it gets the light there. So if you find light with that little simple sensor, then you hit something. If you don't, then you don't. It's something along those lines.
How does it know if you hit the right thing, though?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question that I don't know the answer to. No, but those arcade one-ups, they are too expensive, aren't they? I mean, that $750.
Yeah. Flimsy as well.
That matches what
flimsy.
I gave. That is 6-7 years ago, I bought a Sega New Astro City with a beautiful 29-inch CRT with no burn-in for just that price, actually. So, yeah, that's... that's a crazy price for that.
And just so many other things I'd rather get.
I love that they're bringing back light gun games, but 17 inches? That's too small for a light gun game.
It's tiny.
What the hell?
Yeah. The other thing is, I mean, even now, for how much is it? 700 quid?
Yeah, $750.
Well,
you get an arcade cab. You get a real one.
Yeah. Which is the thing, isn't it? You know, what have I got here? I didn't pay that much for those.
That's what I'm saying. All right, you have to do a little bit of cleaning up to them and maybe like stick a PC inside and stuff, or stick a pie inside or something. But for that money, you could get a real cab. The light gun, you might know the answer to this. You probably don't. But probably there was a guy who invented the light gun game. And he's like he's not well known, but he's like partly responsible for the birth of the game industry. I think his name's Ralph Baer.
So Ralph Baer is definitely...
Did he do the Odyssey?
The Odyssey, yeah. He was over the Magnavox Odyssey. Are you talking about the old mechanical light gun games where they were... Like,
yeah, you know, with the bears when you shoot them into the little red.
48 now, boys. I can't remember what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Could be.
Do we need to stop so you can take a wee there, Steve?
I've got a commode. This chair just opens up at the bottom.
I thought you had a bag.
I've got a bag as well.
Strapped to your leg.
I've got a bag strapped to my leg. That's it. So have we got any other news, gents? Anything else?
I don't think
I might. Really?
All new
I've
stuff.
Got a new single out today.
Yeah,
yes. Did you? Well, maybe we should play that out on the show.
We could do. That's it, man. Yeah, we might get a copyright strike.
It's the only thing, isn't it?
I mean, I'm happy to grant permission. Yeah, we've got a new single out called Time of Our Lives. It's just come out today. We've got loads and loads of good feedback about it.
Cool.
Yeah, you remember when we were young, the first one we put out?
That was good.
Yep.
Yeah, so this is the last track as a single for the album, and we're putting the album out soon. This is the final single off the album, and it's kind of a bookend. So when we were young, it was always like talking about being a kid and your best mate and all the rest of it. And this one's a similar kind of thing. It's the finale, and it's basically
it's getting
talking
old
about,
and you have no mates.
It is a little bit, really. It's kind of like it starts off with growing up, but it talks about like as you get older and like you kind of you lose some people along the way, and you know look out for the ones who you know that you you care about the best. Look out for the people who matter. That's kind of the thing. Mm. But we've got a video coming, which has not been announced, so it's an exclusive on this podcast right now.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so I've just it's full of Retro Asylum artwork now.
Easter eggs.
It's not.
It's a cartoon. It's an animated cartoon.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I'll send you the link to it in a bit after the show and you can have a listen. We made it with AI, so see what you think.
You made the cartoon with
the whole cartoon. It's like five minutes long cartoon.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So the whole thing's made with AI. So it's like we use this site called Kyber AI.
Okay.
Basically, what you can do is you can put you can download your track into it, upload your track into it. Sorry, and then you can type prompts of like kind of what you want it to do. So we just sat there. Well, I just sat there for a day. Just writing different prompts and like, you know, like three guys standing in front of a portal and in the distance, the time is evolving and the seasons pass and all this kind of thing.
Okay.
And it's
so
just giving
images
us
that it switches between or actual animation.
No, it's animation. It's a full animation. I'll send you a link in a bit. Okay. You can give us some feedback.
Yeah.
But it's, but like I say, singles come out today. A lot of people are raving about it, which is nice.
What What's it called, Steve? Time
of Our Lives. So it's on Spotify now. And
I'm hoping you got Patrick Swayze in the animation. No?
That would be cool. He wasn't available. We've got Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayne?
Swayne. Got Patrick Swayne just doing the voice for us.
That's Engage. My Irish cousin you're talking about there.
So that's my news.
Yeah. So when's the album out then?
About a month, I reckon. It's finished. There's one track that I'm just going over and over the mix with and like keep coming back to it. And I'm like, not quite happy with it yet. It's a bit more dark. It's a bit more Depeche Mode.
Okay.
Than the stuff we put
out. Are you going to release a physical release of sort, like a limited release?
So I don't know at the minute. So initially we wanted to do a run of vinyl.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But it's really expensive. Really expensive. Like £700.
For doing how many issues?
About 50, something like that. I don't know. Maybe it's a bit more. Maybe 100.
Okay.
I can't remember. But it's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's expensive.
Whatever it was a lot of money. We'd need to shift a lot of them or sell them at like £50 a piece.
Okay.
To make the money back. So we're going to wait until we're actually outperforming and then we'll look to like have merchandise with us. So if we get the vinyl done and we have some t-shirts done and stuff like that, when we're going to gigs with it and we can take it with us, makes more sense than right at the minute when a lot of people are just streaming us. We do get the song's on Bandcamp as well, and we do get a few people buying it, which is nice. We've had someone this evening just spent £16 on it, on one song. Mm,
cool.
That's cool.
Which is really nice. Yeah. So we've made £17 all day.
Nice.
That's good.
That's awesome. I go to a lot of concerts, and when you're at a concert, the vinyl seems to be selling for like £30 or something like that. So that's probably a reasonable price if you can make it.
I said, if once we do a few gigs and if we get a little bit of a following and it goes well, then I think the value will be in getting the vinyl done. But at the moment, I could see us selling about, I don't know, 5 or 10 copies.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like family would buy it and a few fans would buy it, but the outlay would be like £750 at the moment. Mm.
Okay.
It's not worth it at the minute.
Do people CDs anymore? Is that not a thing?
People are buying tapes now. I've seen that on different websites.
Yeah, I've seen
that.
Bands.
Yeah.
Retro bands are selling tapes, which is cool. But what are you playing them on?
Yep. So I'm playing it on my tape deck. Mm. So
nice.
Don't you guys have tape decks in your living rooms? That's weird.
I do. I totally do.
That's good. That's good, mate.
Yeah.
I want to get a stacked MIDI stack again. Remember them?
Yeah.
I'm building that. Components. Actually, and that's one of my projects when I had flea marks with the kids looking for different kinds of like old CD players, old tape players. I've got a beautiful tape player now, and I've actually found this really, really beautiful hi-fi CD player that, I mean, back in the day it would have cost like £1,200. Sadly, it doesn't work because you can't, the drive bell is broken or something like that. So I found this guy who can fix it for me, but he wants something along the lines of £200 to fix it. So I'm just debating with myself whether I want to pay £200 for
getting an 8-track player, Mads.
CD player. Once again,
get an 8-track player.
Yeah, that'd be good, but I don't have any 8-track tapes.
No, well, Steve's going to release his new album on 8-track.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
Yeah, man.
I actually have an 8-track player. I do have one.
Yeah.
First, quite popular in the States, weren't they?
They were back huge. In the day. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they've ever
seen really took off over here. Yeah, we never really took off over here. I don't.
Really?
Yeah, I know people talk about them, but I don't even know what they look like.
Yeah.
They're really bigger than normal cassette tapes. Yeah,
they're like huge, chunky. Aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they plunk in, and you basically could change between four audio tracks are playing at the same time.
So you flip between them, pressing.
You
something.
Flip between them, yeah. Whatever song you want to listen to, they sound. I mean, because you know when you go back and listen to an audio cassette, you know you kind of got the rough, fuzziest noise to it. But 8-track is worse. It's a lot worse. Yeah. Maybe it's the degradation, but they're bad. But they're fun to have. I still have brand new blank 8-tracks that were my dad's. So
that's cool, man.
Wow.
Yeah, I can send them your way, Steve. You can record on 8-track for us.
We'll put them on that for everyone, for release. I was watching on YouTube the other day, Tomorrow's World from the 80s. It was the early 80s episode. And they were showing off this brand new answer phone for your house. and they were saying that the problem with Antiphones at the minute, they're so expensive and it's like so difficult to like get them to like play the right message when someone rings up and it passes through. And they went, this cheaper version's just come out and the tape on it is half an hour long and it loops back around. So eventually it'll just spin it, it'll just turn itself over and keep going. So you don't have to turn it over or rewind it when you go out. And they said, and the trick is to make sure that your message is like available for anyone who rings up is to press record on the tape machine and put the message in 35 times.
Sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, 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 it does. Like, so you do it and then you'd like leave a 10-second gap and then do another one and then a 10-second gap. I'd love to like phone someone up when it was on like 33 or 34 when they were absolutely fed up with it. But yeah, that was the tech. It was it's wow. Only £250.
I remember I used to have a mate who was he had a one of those answering machines. Nobody had those back in the day here, at least, but he had one of those, and it would allow him to record a 45-second message, I think. So he just recorded 45 seconds of polka, like polka music, and you had to listen to the whole full 45 seconds before you could actually leave that bloody message. It was horrible.
That's great.
That was a thing in the 80s, though. You get couples doing it together. Hi, you're through to Paul and Susan. We're not in at the moment, but if you'd like to leave us a message, we'll call you back.
Yep.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Mad.
Yeah. Good old tech from the 80s. You've got to love it.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember? I don't reckon Mads or Mark would remember this, but the tees made.
Oh, God.
Me and Dean will remember this. The goblin tees made.
What's that?
What is this? Not a thing.
No?
No.
So what this was kind of, imagine an alarm clock with a kettle built in.
Yeah, ready to burn you of a morning.
So what it was like a little unit with like a cylinder and a cup, and like you'd fill it with water the night before, and you put in, I don't know where this stuff went, but there's some tea bags and sugar, and then in the morning, when the alarm went off on it, it would boil the kettle and make a cup of tea.
Wow. So
you'd wake up to this thing making you a cup of tea in the morning.
About a trouser press.
Yeah.
People used to have those as well.
All that trouser press.
Sophisticated Britain.
Never heard of such a thing. Wow. I'm trying to think if we had anything weird like that when I was a kid. I mean, we had the answering machines. But gosh, nothing like that would just make your, that sounds like Back to the Future, you know, the beginning of the Back to the Future movie where he's got all his robots going and with the alarm clocks. But yeah, nothing like that here.
Huh. About a VCR remote control on a wire.
Yeah, we had that.
Oh, yeah.
On a wire.
Yeah. We had that as well.
Yeah. I thought it was the coolest thing, man. It's like 20 meter wire just going around the living room.
So I used to, my alarm clock was that my tape deck. You could set it to start at a specific time. So it would just power on the amplifier and itself and then start playing the tape in I think it was deck A. It was one of those dual tape deck things. But if there was a tape in tape deck A, you would just start playing that. So I'd always wake up to very, very loud metal music and everybody else in the house would hate me for it.
my brother.
Did it have a graphic equalizer on it, though? We don't have
yes, it
stuff
did. So
used to
many
light
lights
up in the 80s, didn't it?
Yeah. I missed the lights. I miss the lights.
They were awesome. My brother years ago got an alarm clock, which was like a ball that sat on the table, like a spongy ball. And what it would do is when the alarm went off in the morning, it'd make this horrific sound, but it would roll away. Just like roll off the cabinet and around the room.
You have to go chase it.
Yeah, you'd have to jump out of bed, chase it, go under the bed and everything. It would just keep going. And it's making it.
I quite quickly if I had that because my dog would be going crazy and barking.
Oh,
going
yeah.
For it.
Yeah. Animals would definitely
that's
be
not
going
for me, that.
Mad. End up smashing it up with a baseball bat or something, I think.
You would. It'd get you out of bed, though. But I need like to press snooze at least three times. So just, no, not yet.
I mean, yeah, 10 me minutes.
Yeah. Can't do it. Just can't jump up and go.
I have to. 10 to 5 on a weekday. Horrible.
Oh, God.
Mark, you're up earlier than that, aren't you?
That's about the same time for me. Yeah, about 1:45. Yep.
Well, yeah. 5 minutes before me. if it was the same time zone.
Yep. Mm.
Not good.
Yeah. Bright and early. You know, I find that the older I get, the easier it is. That's just the old man syndrome in us. Here we are talking middle-aged men again. But, you know, I can't sleep past about 8, I think, on a Sunday, Saturday, Sunday, if I'm...
Yeah. Well, my back hurts of a morning, so I have to get out of bed because my back's hurting. God, we're a bunch of old gits.
We are. Yeah. How old are you, Mads? I don't know. These other guys, you got 50 and 25, 40. Mate. What is it?
48.
It's 25.
22.
I think 20 years Danish experience.
Is coming through, Mads. Yes. I think I heard you say 25. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll be 45
years old, young mate.
45. Young. I'll be 45 this year, so I'm not too much younger.
I am Chris, the old man. I'm 48.
Chris is the baby.
I'm 48 now as well, mate.
Like Steve. Chris is the baby. Yes, Matt. Indeed.
Matt's, I think he's about 47, isn't he?
Is it? Yeah, 52.
Maybe. He might be younger than that. Sorry, man.
Yeah, we're getting old. Well, I'm getting old, excited.
I got to get you guys going on that Knight Rider. I've coaxed.
Yes, you guys got to do that.
Got to do our Knight Rider episode dedicated. So,
are there any good Knight Rider games, mate?
No.
Just one. No.
Nope. No.
So episode's over.
We'll play them anyway.
We'll be able to wax lyrical about the show, I think, and maybe some of the peripherals and the toys.
Yeah.
I'll be really interested to hear about the stuff you guys got as kids over there, because it was massive over here, the toys and everything.
Recently you shared a picture on Telegram with us of you being inappropriate with Kit, right?
The real Kit. The real one. Real one. So in 97 it's when I graduated high school. We took a trip. My folks took us to California, and yeah. And I was so excited to go find the Knight Rider car. And, you know, when it was a real thing back in the 80s, Kit was on a platform and it was out in the middle of water. And so you'd have to walk up to it, and there was, you could actually talk to it. You know,
at the Universal?
Yes. Have you seen those pictures? Okay.
I have seen them, yeah.
And so it was a sad shame that, you know, 15 or 10 years-ish later, this thing was just parked in the corner, just in the middle of nowhere, and there was a little sign, you know, and I got to find these other pictures, but it's just, you know, David Hasselhoff, Knight Rider, Kit from Knight Rider. And so there it sat in the middle of nowhere, so I got pictures of me taking hugging it, which is what I was doing, hugging the front of it.
Yes.
This is, like I said, this was in 97. And then I think we talked on one of the last episodes, I may or may not have stolen a paint chip off the rear bumper. So
I was at the Universal Studios in 98 or 99, I think.
Okay.
I don't remember seeing Kit there at all, but the Batmobile was there.
Yeah. So it could have been, I mean, by that point they might've moved it. And, you know, I want to say I went there. It's been a while, but when my wife and I went there in like 2002, and I took a picture of right where it was, and it was gone, of course.
Mm, okay.
So who knows? They move stuff all over the place, but what a shame.
Maybe moved it before. It was 99. I was there, I believe. Yeah.
That, but they could have moved it by then.
Wait a second. 98. That's it.
You're getting old, Mats.
Yeah. Many years ago. Many, many years.
You'd have been a baby if you're 25
with my wife. So,
You guys ever come over to the States?
I've never been.
I've been once. Yeah.
Where did you go?
I went to Boston. Where did I go? Boston, New York. I think that was it. Yeah. My sister was, she's doing a year out from university. So she was working for Lufthansa. In the airport in Boston. I flew over to stay there for a few weeks, and we went to New York for the couple of days and that. So, So all East Coast was the only thing I've seen. Whereabouts are you based, Mark?
I'm in the West. So I'm two states over from California. You have California and Nevada, which is where Las Vegas is, and then Utah, which is where I'm at. So it's like to drive to LA to the coast, it's about 10 hours.
Yeah.
which mad. Is nothing for us. I mean, yeah, that's just.
I know that's crazy though. That's I wouldn't even want to fly that long, let alone drive that long.
If you drive 10 hours, 12 hours anywhere in England, you won't be in England when you finish.
Yeah, I mean, I drove. I was a 9-hour round trip to go pick up my last arcade machine. That was nothing.
Mm.
Yeah,
crazy. So what have you got now, Mark? And didn't you pick some new Amigas up as well?
I don't think. Thank heavens, not since the last I had an episode. But I have been working on the 2000s. I'm going to be picking them. I'm going to be picking up some of them this weekend from a friend of mine who knows the Amiga system much better than I do. So he's been working through them for me. But
you keep finding these things, don't you?
Yeah, I keep finding them. I just got yesterday from the Amiga store this SD box. I don't know if you can see it. So this will help me sideload a bunch of the stuff onto the Amiga through the serial port. It's just an SD card reader, but you just plug it in the back. It's much easier to deal with than trying to. So he needed one of those. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know this stuff very well. Again, my first Amiga, I own like 6-7 years ago. So this is all new to me, but I'm going to be keeping a 2000. I did get the 3000. I think maybe that's what you're thinking of, Steve.
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I did pick up an Amiga 3000, and I don't know. I'm going to start unloading these things, keep one or two of my favorites and get rid of the rest. I'm actually sending one off to Andy from the new game Old Flame. He's super excited about that. So he's getting one of these 2000s. He's going to stuff a Pi-Storm in it. I don't even know what that means. To me, it sounds like that just makes it not an Amiga. So
yeah.
Yes.
I've always wanted an Amiga 4000, but they're rarer than hen's teeth here.
They are here too. We'll see. I'll have one. So the guy picked up a lot of these Amigas from had a 4000, where one of the Amiga 2000s that had the video toaster cards in it, he had it sitting there by it, and I'm like, ooh, this is part of the deal. He's like, no, that one's mine. I was like,
half in a bundle.
Yeah, I'm like, just throw that 4000 in with this pile of junk, right? So. But one thing I'm excited about here in 2 weeks, I'll be going. So you remember the swap meet I did five months ago?
Yeah.
Where I got to set up a bunch of RA stuff. So I'll be, his next one is on the 9th of September. So, he asked me to come and do it again if I would think, and I'm going to, but I've got a friend that's going to be helping me. And another guy said, hey, another vintage computer guy here said, can I bring some stuff? So it's going to ease the pressure on me to just, cause it's a lot of work to haul all these machines around and get them all set up and ready to go for a day. But it's turning into a proper convention. I mean, he's got some of the Mortal Kombat guys coming, some of the guy that played Raiden in the original arcade machine.
Okay.
He's got the guy. Was NBA Jam a thing over there in the UK?
Yeah.
The guy that like screams Boom Shakalaka and all that, he's going to be there, the voice. So he's kind of slowly turning this into a convention, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to be bringing, I'll be setting up the retro museum again. But I'm going to be bringing some of my weird Japanese consoles and computers.
So he's going to be doing talks and stuff as well, then, apart from the whole showroom.
Yeah, he's going to have panels and with these guys. So it's kind of slowly, and I tell them, I'm like, you're kind of turning this into where you need a 2 days. One day is almost not enough.
Yeah.
And I mean, he clocked about 3,000 people in the last show that walked through.
Yeah. It's impressive.
So it's a lot for just, you know, weird old Utah where I'm at. So, we'll see how it goes. This go. He's got high hopes. He's, like I said, he's brought in a few YouTubers and a few of these people in the industry, kind of slowly organically growing it, which is the right way to do it. You know, I mean, he's got his bases covered. He's a smart dude. So I'm excited to be a part of it. And he's had me be a part of it since the beginning. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Sounds good, mate. You got to post us some pictures.
Yep. For sure.
On Discord.
For sure. I'll post some of that stuff. Like I said, we're 2 weeks out, so I've got to get that stuff put together today, tomorrow, probably. Yeah, I think I'm going to be taking the FM Towns Marty. I've got an FM Towns Marty. Nice. The PCFX, which is an NEC console, which was basically the Turbo Duo 2.0. So that's going to go. The Sega Wonder Mega. I've got one of those, which is pretty cool. Just weird things that people don't ever get to see. I like to set them up and let people touch them and play them. So.
So the Marty, I've never played with one. Is it actually just running DOS, like an early version of DOS? It is a PC, isn't it?
It's not. So the Marty is the console-based version of the FM Towns. So the FM Towns is a PC. I think it runs its own DOS. I'm sure somebody out there will inform us, but it's basically a 386 architecture.
Exactly. That's what I thought. I thought it was just running some version of DOS, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Marty is a consoleized version of that. So it does have a floppy disk drive to the side of it. I've never actually seen if it works. I don't have anything that runs it, but I just run the CD software. And then I have an ODE for it called the Doc Brown, which is hilarious because it's playing on Marty and Brown for Back to the Future. So, so that's, I'm excited about that. It's coming up. Just a couple of weeks.
After Max has joined the show, our meager collections are kind of like paling in comparison, eh?
Yeah. You have more Amigas than children, though, so I think somebody said that's true. Good.
I do.
Yeah.
And you didn't have an Amiga back in the day, Mark?
No, I didn't even know what an Amiga was. I would say it would, like I said, I got my first one in 2015, I want to say. Because I wasn't in this house. I was in the house prior to this. So, 2014 or 2015 was the first time I got an Amiga 500. And I was super excited. And, I haven't looked back.
Because obviously Commodore's an American company. It's produced over there. But games-wise, it was always much more popular in Europe.
Yeah.
One thing that I found interesting, and maybe some people out there know, but as far as like archives goes with like WHD load and stuff, there is no definitive that I can find definitive list of games that are PAL and or NTSC, because it does make a difference on, if I play a PAL game on one of my CRTs over here, it'll
run too fast, won't it?
It runs, well, not necessarily. It the resolutions are different. And so it kind of like I lose the top and bottom of the screen. I get different resolutions. It's really weird. And I found that interesting that with as big as the Amiga community is, that there is no definitive list. Like these are your NTSC WHD load games. These are your PAL WHD load games. Something to kind of help.
I'm guessing a lot of the games, because the Amiga was so much bigger in Europe than it was in the States. Yeah, a lot of the games wouldn't actually have NTSC releases, I'd guess.
Because, I have a ton of Amiga big box games that are NTSC.
Okay.
I don't want to say a ton.
Were they European developed or American developed?
Well, I've got like one of my Lemmings games. It says NTSC.
Well, that'll be obviously some publishers in the States did pick these games up and distribute them.
Yeah.
So it'll be NTSC versions, but the majority of those games would have, been created for the European market. So I guess the Cinemaware games, they were out in the States.
Cinemaware games, the LucasArts Adventures that were all released on the Amiga was probably out of the States, of course, as well.
But,
so they'd have NTSC releases. But I can't see, I don't know. Somebody can correct me, but lots and lots of these games were developed in the UK.
In the UK,
European market. So
I think what you need to do is look at the publishers, if it's a European publisher, and then you'll know whether it's... But
I mean,
they still play. It just depends on how well they optimize the games for the NTSC region, I guess.
Yeah.
With a lot of them.
It's just kind of, it's one of those, I don't know, I found it kind of an odd, as big as the Amiga stuff is, that there is no definitive PAL/NTSC versions, but not that, and maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree, but is I'm starting to try to get some of these.
Quite interesting anyway.
Yeah. Because, you know, I mean, with consoles, it's definitely have you have your PAL releases and your NTSC releases.
So you have a CD32 as well, mate?
I do, and that is a PAL version. So we did have the NTSC one. It has compatibility issues because most of the software is for PAL.
Yeah. Did it get released over there officially? Wasn't it a load of stock got stuck in Canada or Canada. Something like
that? Nothing in the United States, but in North America it did. So Canada got a pile of them, and there's a lot of them from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I picked one up at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo, and it was a PAL console, so I had to buy a proper power supply for it, and it runs great through RGB. Through I think I got a 1084S, I think is the monitor.
Yeah,
I have it hooked too. But yeah, it's pretty cool. And I got a terrible fire card in that.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I was going to say about your TVs because in the States RGB wasn't too popular, was it?
As far as I know, the only way I can get RGB, other than there's a few rare actual televisions. But as far as I have to use these Commodore monitors that are RGB or some of the other old computer monitors. You know, they're like use RGBI or something.
I guess you can mod TVs, but it's not something I'd know how to do.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither. I'm pretty happy with S-Video and even Composite. I'm kind of over. Mm-hmm. I used to try and get the best video signal for everything back in the day when I was collecting things, which typically was Composite or S-Video. And I'm okay with that. I mean, when I see an RGB, like when I plug a Sega Genesis in through one of these PVMs, I can't believe I've never seen a Sega, you know, Genesis look as clean as that before. That blew my mind. Yeah. But I don't know.
That's one of the wonderful things about the Mister. You get all of those consoles and old computers, micros in proper RPG output for a CRT.
That's something I forgot to mention, actually, is the N64 core is coming along heaps and bands.
Is it?
Yeah, it's coming along quite fast. It's the same developer who done the PlayStation core. And I think, I'm not too sure how he does it, but he seems to work really fast. Once he gets his starts on it, there's been different cores. I think this week there's been about 3 or 4 different updates. You know, it's not an official release yet, but you can get these nightly releases. And at the moment, a lot of the textures aren't quite right. So for like Super Mario, for instance, he hasn't got eyes and there's triangle shapes around the trees while you're running about. But just seeing it in RGB, you know,
you sure it's not working. Vibrant. I mean, that just sounds right to me. That sounds like what the N64
can you
look
tell
like
the difference?
Yeah,
no, but of course, famously, you never could get RPG output out of an N64, so this is going to be a step up.
Yeah,
well, you can now, of course. Yeah,
yeah,
is so to test these. Because I don't play with my Mister as much as I used or as I need to. When I want to try out like the N64 or the PlayStation or the updates, do you basically just run scripts and you kind of update all of everything?
For the PlayStation one, you just do run.
Update all.
Yeah, update all. And you'll get that. With the N64 one, you have to be a member of a certain Discord channel to download them.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it seems, doesn't it kind of.
Officially.
When you update everything, does it kind of screw up all your settings?
No.
Okay. I thought it
adds new stuff to it. That's all.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not Windows.
We
all know you're secretly a Windows fan, Steve. Just bought yourself an Xbox, didn't you?
It's not Windows.
Who would have thought it, eh?
That's not Windows.
It runs base of Windows. It's just underlining.
Stop spoiling it. Stop ruining it.
Windows on your 75-inch TV, Steve. That's it.
Yeah. When you're looking at that fake bezel, you'll see Bill Gates' face start to reflect.
I've got a Windows build on the Steam Deck now, and I tried to. It offered me Windows 11 for free. It just went, this PC can run Windows 11 now. Press here to update and you can get it for free. It took five goes. Like every time it gets to 55% and stop.
But why do you want Windows on your Steam Deck? I don't get it.
Because
what can you do that you can't do on the Steam OS?
Well, certain things like putting, like creating a stick for the Xbox, for starters.
So using as a computer, actually.
Yeah. Certain things like, or when I download illegal software, which I do not condone, sometimes the crack software needs Windows to make the key gen run, which I don't do, never have done, never will. Don't agree with it. Yeah. Do not agree with it. But one person may need Windows in order to do that. So it's handy to have something that could be Windows if you need it. And it's just on a 64 gig card. However, five attempts to update, stopped on 55% every single time. And eventually when I did get it to work, it only took 14 hours. Literally set it off. And I just went, I've had enough. I just set it off and left it in the bedroom, plugged in, and just went, go. And I come back. That was like 9 o'clock at night. I come back the next day at like 9 o'clock in the morning. Still hadn't done it. Come back at 12 o'clock and it just finished.
Nice. So
that's typical for Windows, isn't it? 14, 15 hour update.
So you've got a Steam Deck running Windows now. That's weird.
Only on a card. So if I take the card out, it just goes back to Steam OS, which is much better. And everything runs lovely. But I've got the option there if I just want to stick it. It was like the card was like a tenner, and I just thought, I'll just do it.
Yeah.
And then I've got it. And when I plug it in and put the keyboard in and use the monitor and stuff, it becomes a PC.
Yeah, okay.
So I've got it there if I need it. I've got it there so I can tell everyone how bad it is from evidence, from actual evidence. But yeah. So yeah, I'm not bitter.
And on that note, let's end this episode right here. So
That's it. The Windows shut down.
We're getting waffly really long.
We are.
Long-winded. Sorry, guys.
All the four on this episode.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, let's call it a day, boys. Well, it's been a fun chat.
Yes,
it's been a nice to catch up. I forgot what you all look like.
It's been so long.
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while.
That's it.
Hopefully, we can get the Outrun 2 going. Episode.
Yeah, and in 3 weeks, we'll be hopefully recording the modern C64 games episode as well.
New game, yeah, Flame.
Apparently, my game's really good. I don't even know what it is. I can't remember.
Leicester.
Get on it.
Yeah. Get on it. I think it's called Leicester, I think.
Yep.
Leicester. Right, okay.
Yeah, it's really good.
Do you even like it? I played it. That's the one I played the most apart from my own. I was like, played it for like an hour. I was like, this is really cool. But then I got stuck.
You need to try my game, mate. I'm not going to spoil what it is right here, but probably the best game I played this year. It's really, really good.
I think I did play it. I think I played all of them.
Yeah.
I couldn't get you. Your game is insane, man. That game is so flipping hard.
It is so hard, but it's so nice because every time you play it, you get just that little bit further on, and then there are save states when you see. There's only like five levels, but levels are quite long. But once you get past the level, you can actually save there so you can continue on.
Wow.
Yeah, but I've been at the very end of level two, and I haven't progressed any further, and I don't want to use save states and cheat because I'm really enjoying it. So I'm gonna keep cracking on with this.
Keep cracking through it. Yeah. So we got a few episodes coming up. It'll be good. We've got a few
things planned, haven't we? A few other bits.
All being well, we'll be back for the Christmas episode.
Yes.
4 months.
Are we going to play out with Steve's new song? What are we doing?
Yeah, we can do it if you want.
If we're allowed to.
Of course you're allowed to, man.
The lawyer's coming after me. I'm trying to help you promote it.
No, we're all good. I'll just say, man, it's a little bit sad. My missus started crying when she listened to it, and that's not a lie.
This has been a bit of a Dan episode in these
days. let's finish on some
poor
tears.
Old men.
Yeah. That's it. Have we got any shout outs before we
Well, Chris and Matt, obviously.
Well, that's mine done then.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, that was mine.
Nice. Everyone who knows me starts sounding like Radio 2, the quiz they do.
Mum and Dad for having me.
Anyone else?
Yeah, shout out to Paul Driscoll, actually, because I just thought of him yesterday watching that video he put out on all of the game sales on all of the different platforms right now. So retro-inspired or retro-related game sales. So haven't thought of Paul for a long time. So shout out to Paul.
Yeah. I just heard him and Kingy yesterday on their recent episode. It was good. It was good when they talked about AntStream and some of the really cool games that are actually on AntStream. So,
yeah. I'll have to give that a listen.
Cool. Yeah, you should give that a listen, Steve. They actually say that you can buy the lifetime pass for like £80, I think, on your Xbox, and then you can play AntStream forever. So, and there are some good games. I was shocked at some of the games that were on there.
Did they finally get multiplayer support working? Or
I think they have.
Nice.
They have. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I mean, I have just put 10,000 ROMs on my Xbox.
you might as well. And you put might the as most well.
Amazing Mega.
Might as well pay another £80. Get be 300 pounds into this Xbox.
Well, yeah. Have they got the amazing Amiga monitor shader that I've got?
Probably not.
So there you go. Cool. Dean, you already shouted out. Mark, are you shouting out?
Oh, let's do the new game on Flame, guys. That was inspired by this long, dreary episode, but a good one will come from it. So
yes,
it will.
Yep.
Excellent. Cool.
Say a big shout out to all our listeners. If you've made it through this far with this episode,
yeah. You deserve a medal.
I'm sure they tuned out a long time ago. They bounced out.
I reckon if you're still here and you are our age, and you haven't been for a wee mid-podcast. Doing well.
Well done.
Doing well.
That's right.
Well done. Proud of you. That's it. Go for one now. You've probably been holding it in.
Yeah, that's not good for you. Don't do that. No. Holding it in, that is.
And on that bombshell.
Bye.
See ya.
See you later, guys.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Mom and Dad were still together, back when my nan was still alive. We used to play until the sunset, and they would talk into the night. I didn't care about the future, it felt so good to be alive. There was never a moment of sorrow. We would laugh so our tears would follow. Not a thought or a care for tomorrow. I guess we didn't know it. I guess we didn't know it was the time of our lives. Yes, we didn't know it. Yes, we didn't know it. I heard a song the other morning. It took me back to 89. He was singing about his father. It got me thinking about mine. When I was young, he was my hero. Someone who never let me down. Taught me everything that I know. He's still my hero even now. There was barely a moment of sorrow. We would laugh so our tears would follow. Not a thought or a care for tomorrow. I guess we didn't know it. I guess we didn't know it was the time of our lives. Guess we didn't know it. Guess we didn't know it. We would play out on our bikes. Yellow streetlights lit the night. Climbing trees and building dams. Sharing secrets with our friends. We would stay out after dark. Spin the bottle in the park. But those days would never end.
had a friend who didn't make it. He was gone before his time. He'll never know how much we loved him. I wish I told him at the time. There will always be moments of sorrow as we move from today to tomorrow. So hold on to the people that matter.